My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer, a beach bum summer, or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first 3 orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply. You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H time. Let's get to work in, man. Let's go.
Great day, great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
This one towards first. Singleton will field it. He'll flip to King, and that's an Astros winner today. A 3-3 road trip. The Astros become the only American League team to have a winning record in the history of the Oakland Coliseum, other than the A's themselves, as they end up 55-54 all time in this building. Blummer, that's a great way to head back home on this long trip back to Houston.
Well put, Todd Callis. It is indeed. As we welcome you in on a Thursday in which we are in studio, it is still Texans training camp coverage, obviously, but an off day for the fellas. A lot going on yesterday at Texans training camp we'll get into. And the Astros yesterday afternoon. It was a good afternoon yesterday. 8-1 the final score. And I don't know if you've heard the good news, Seth Payne.
What is it?
The good news is this. The Astros, not only are they still in first place, they expanded their lead yesterday. Because the Seattle Mariners suck at professional baseball.
They've
right
gotten
now.
Bad.
Legit bad.
Whereas the A's offense over the last month has actually been incredibly good. The Mariners are falling apart at the seams.
They're falling apart. And normally we wouldn't be saying this about the A's, because I remember last year I was at a game where Framber Valdez pitched a complete game shutout against the A's, and I'm like, well, that is the A's, but good job, Framber. Hunter Brown yesterday,
yeah,
was awesome, and the A's have actually been a bit of a measuring stick for that sort of thing lately. They've been the best offensive team in baseball over the last several days.
Yeah, over the month of July.
Yeah.
Yeah, not just several days, over the month of July. That Lawrence Butler, man, I'm at the point where I still like this young kid, this right fielder for the A's.
Why?
I'll end up hating him eventually.
Yeah.
I don't know. He's got almost like a less flashy Ricky Henderson vibe to him.
Oh, Ricky would not want to hear you comparing anybody to Ricky.
I know.
He would say that. He'd say, you don't compare anybody to Ricky.
Yeah, he would say the third person.
Yeah. Yes.
I think it was the glasses he was wearing yesterday. You know, he had those big glasses on. I think by the way, Astros now the only team in the AL with a career lifetime winning percentage in that ballpark.
A winning record. Yeah, Callis just said that at the end of the cut right there. Yeah,
oh, really?
50, yeah.
I'm not sure if you're aware of this.
Yeah, he just said that 60 seconds ago.
Said more eloquently than I.
55. They're the only team other than the A's to have a winning record in that ballpark. 55-54.
I'm staring at my bullet point of his Callis is blabbing on.
Let Callis do the heavy lifting. But 55-54, that's what was at stake yesterday. They lose that game.
What do they do with stadiums? Do they ever tear them down, Sean, or do they stay standing?
I live in Houston
forever.
So as far as I know, they stay as a monument to all the great sports that
I just can't for the life of me remember various explosions and implosions.
Like a dead relative perched in an easy chair.
I totally can. Usually we're like Norman Bates in Psycho.
Yeah.
We're just keeping the corpse of stadiums up and alive and talking to them like they still matter.
In a totally convenient spot next to the other stadium.
Never tear down that Astrodome. I love it so much. When was the last time you visited it? Well, you know,
Do you even know what's inside it? Well, no.
Yeah.
Feral cats and a lot of trash.
You basically sent it off to some third-rate Bosnian old folks home.
And
claim that you love it.
It's a big weekend this weekend, man. The Dodgers are coming to town. The hated Dodgers are coming
to town. I hate the Dodgers as much as I'll one day hate Lawrence Butler.
Yes.
I will.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Hunter Brown, I guess if there's one thing you can take from this series, another hot take, Sean.
Yeah.
I've got this bullet point. Nobody in Houston's talking about this. I think they might could go get themselves a starting pitcher. They got to Tuesday to get that worked out, by the way. It's all right. It's time. Let's take care of this thing.
Yeah.
Okay? I mean, we've talked about it and talked about it and talked about it. But man, you just can't rely. I guess what they say is true. You can't rely on underdeveloped AAA pitchers if you want to win a major league championship.
As the old saying goes, yeah, exactly.
Did Callis say anything like that yesterday?
Probably at some point.
He's obviously in my Google Doc. Obviously stealing all my talking points.
Oh, yeah, Callis is thieving from Payne and Pendergast.
That's why he just figures out a way to say the correct names much more regularly than I do.
Indeed. That's his job. So the Astros went, people like the raw Seth Payne.
I always go raw dog with my listeners.
That's it, man. So the Astros win yesterday, game up on the Mariners, Dodgers in town this weekend. So that was good to see. Training camp yesterday was lively.
It was lively. Derek Stingley had a hell of a day.
He did.
Active on many fronts.
Yes.
Both before, after, and in between the whistle.
As an actual cornerback.
Yeah.
Made some good plays.
He made a beautiful play on the ball on a C.J. Stroud throw to Tank Dell down the right sideline where Stingley's ball skills are so good. All those things that you get frustrated about with defensive backs, you know, like when they've got a guy covered and you're like, just look for the ball. Look for the ball.
He does that.
He looks for the ball.
Yeah.
He times it perfectly. I was talking to Sarge afterwards because on that play, I had actually been looking over. I was watching Kamari Lassiter. Kamari Lassiter had a good rep, but it was all for naught. Stingley just classically read the eyes of Tank Dell, was running step for step with him, and then when Tank Dell went up for the ball, Stingley turned around, intercepted it, and then Tank kind of reached in and tried to grab it. They wrestled for about 30 or 45 seconds.
I was going to say 30 seconds.
I thought there was going to be a fight right there.
I did too.
And I think that might have been some of where it started was there's been a lot of chippiness out there over the last
yesterday.
Couple days.
Yeah.
So then you can set up the fight.
We'll hit the fight in the next segment. I've got some winners and losers for the fight we'll get to in the next segment. But the fight It was a skirmish for sure.
It was a skirmish, some shoving, and then a cheap shot by Derek Stingley.
Cheap shot by Derek Stingley was the big thing. Yeah, I didn't like seeing that. And I'm guessing he and Dalton Schultz have had a conversation about it since then. I don't know. You've been in a locker room. You've been at training camps where there have been fights before, I'm sure, amongst teammates.
This one, look, fights right after, like all the stuff that happened right after the whistle. I don't know if any punches were thrown or not. I mean, there's so many people in there in the scrum. But, you know, fights are usually, you leave it on the field, and it's supposed to be no big deal if it's a natural fight. Derek Stingley just ran.
It's a cheap shot.
And just hit Dalton Schultz from the side as the offense was walking away from the fight. It was a cheap shot. Yeah. And it's one of those things, I think, you know, I don't know what led up to it or anything, but Derek Stingley, most likely in that situation, he's got to apologize.
Yeah.
It'll be cool as long as he apologizes, because that was a cheap shot.
It was a cheap shot, yeah. Like, look,
it happens. I don't think it means he's a bad person or anything. You just lose your head sometimes, but it was a cheap shot.
This is one of those times where it was a good thing there were fans in the stands, because the fans were the ones who got the footage of the fight.
Yeah. We're not allowed to film practice.
They don't let the media shoot after.
Meanwhile, the fans can take all the footage they want.
Out, yeah.
Which, please, like one of our listeners did yesterday. Mm-hmm. Please send that footage to us. I will quote tweet you. I won't steal your video or anything. Yeah. I will give you full credit.
I'll buy
for
you
it.
A beer.
But man, some of these awesome plays at practice that we're not allowed to film, but the thousands of people in the stands are. Please direct those to us when you can.
Nico had a couple of those yesterday. As far as the good stuff, the non-Stingley stuff yesterday, Nico, I thought Nico had a good day. He had that deep ball from CJ that probably would have been a sack in a real game.
Yeah.
But it was kind of cool still to see CJ's arm talent drop it in the bucket right there. It
would have been a sack in the real game, but it didn't affect the timing of
what was going on with the route.
Right. So you can give him credit for the reception.
For sure.
There was a play later where Dalton Schultz got a reception after, I mean, it was like 10 seconds into the play. It was a clear coverage sack. Yep. Or not even a coverage sack, but just everybody stopped and CJ kept running around, just kind of,
finish the play, man.
Yeah.
Finish the play. And then Nico, boy, the one that was making the rounds both from fan video and the Texans themselves posted it was when Nico caught that. He caught that pass on the outside, and it was a lot like a play Diggs made in practice earlier in the week where he
put
stopped
on the brakes
on a dime
and
started running to space the other way. And Nico, that would have been the one he had, that catch and run that he had where he did that yesterday, was going to be at least like in a real game where there was tackling, because eventually some guys were there to kind of thud him. Would have been at least like a 20-yard gain.
It was a really well-run.
He might have broken the tackle, too.
It was a really well-run route against Lassiter. Got a lot of separation on an out, but it would have been for a shorter intermediate gain. But Lassiter got deked
got
by
shook,
him. Yeah, because, I mean, it's one thing when you see Diggs or Tank Dell do it. It's still impressive when they do it, but that's what they do. They're smaller guys. When a guy that's 6'3" like that does it, that was impressive,
that was
man.
Crazy.
It was like Tom Cruise in the original Top Gun when he put on the brakes and let the Soviets fly over him.
Yeah, that's right.
Lassiter was a Soviet in this instance.
He was.
Oh, yeah, so, I guess in Top Gun, they never make it clear like whether it's
who
Soviets
the opponent
or not.
Is.
Yeah,
just the MiGs coming in. That's all they
just
were.
Just a guy with a Russian accent.
That they never specify the enemy. The enemy we knew this time, and his name was Kamari Lassiter.
Mm-hmm.
And he went... Phew.
So there was a safety that got there, but Tank Dell, who led the league in broken tackles after the reception last year, might have very well beat that, and it would have been a touchdown.
I was impressed with Juwar Jordan yesterday.
Juwar Jordan is the most intriguing guy in camp.
Yeah, he's the most intriguing guy in camp.
For me.
Okay.
Yes. Okay, because he's undersized, and, you know, his measurables and everything else, and based on the film, too, he's not as...
He's a six-round running back rookie, for those who don't
from
know.
From Louisville. He's not as freakishly fast as you really want the smaller guys to be, but he does have really good vision on the run plays.
Yeah.
He's got a knack for picking out the seam and the hole in his running lanes. And then as a receiver, he's silky smooth as a receiver. And it's kind of like the way Derrick Henry has build-up speed. It's like, okay, if you get the lane, then he's awesome. If you get Derrick Henry in the backfield, he's not very good at dodging and darting and everything. I could see Juwar Jordan almost being like a minuscule Derrick Henry, because he does break tackles too when he's on the run.
Yeah.
So I'm fascinated by him. But they're not allowed to tackle yet.
Right.
So we just got to see how his game translates to NFL tackling.
I wrote yesterday in my recap that I would like to see him, especially with Joe Mixon out right now.
Yeah.
I would like to see him get a few more reps with the
ones.
The ones, yeah.
Against ones in the first quarter of preseason games. It would be really cool.
Yeah, yeah. Just to see, you know, really get a feel for what we've got there.
Oh, boy.
As much as you can in preseason.
This is the thing, too. This is where I think that I really hope that they do a good job of giving Davis Mills a glow up. Because there's some throws that he makes in practice.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
So when he's got a chance to throw to Tank Dell or somebody, that's a beautiful throw. Mm-hmm. That's a touchdown. That's this, that's that. But then he still misfires on the easy throws so much.
Like badly misfires.
Misfires.
Yeah. Like
so badly. It could be the future of this franchise, Sean, the future of this franchise
declared.
Might hinge on just the few smatterings of preseason games where Davis Mills either does or does not misfire on the easy throws.
Point, huh?
Because he might go off in a couple of these preseason games and somebody's going to trade a second round pick or something
that would be beautiful.
For Davis Mills because their starting quarterback goes down. And there are now so many offenses similar to the Texans because Kyle Shanahan has Johnny Appleseeded his way across the league.
Yep.
It was like half the teams in the league are running Kubiak Shanahan style.
Yeah, it's not an exaggeration. It is. It's like that's about the number.
I think there are a lot of teams out there that might see Davis Mills put on a good showing in the preseason. If their starting quarterback goes down, they might say, like, well, you know what? Let's just plug and play
Dude. Lines are open. All right, winners and losers. We had our first fight at training camp yesterday. I got three winners and three losers from Stingley V. Schultz from yesterday. Nick Caserio sat down with us yesterday. If you missed the entire interview, it's up on our podcast. We've got some highlights from that, including Nick Caserio talking about C.J. Stroud. A little chatter about Tom Brady as well. We'll get to that coming up next.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently with offline maps and on-trail navigation. Download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Texans Training Camp, live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we had Nick Caserio on yesterday. He was really good. We'll get to him in just a second. But the big story yesterday, Derek Stingley, I think you hit the nail on the head in the open set. Derek Stingley was the big story. As a cornerback, had a good day, man. Had one of the best plays of camp on a pick where he ran the route, basically, for Tank Dell and went up and got the ball and Tank didn't like it, and Tank was trying to wrestle the ball away. I'll tell you what, it was funny watching Nick out there yesterday. You know, the GM's got kind of eyes on practice, kind of stands in the background quite a bit. The skirmish between Tank and Stingley, where Tank was trying to steal the ball away from him, and it's basically the two of them hugging a football and rolling around on the ground. Two of the more injury-prone players on the team rolling around on the ground. Nick was making a beeline to get over to that little kerfuffle over there. When the actual fight was going on down a little bit later, where it was like 20 guys sitting there pushing and shoving and eventually Stingley cheap-shotting Dalton Schultz, Nick was just kind of laying back and watching that whole thing play out.
That was, well, there was a huge, huge scrum. And, you know, mostly peacemakers more than agitators. At one point, C.J. Stroud was trying to get in to break it up, and then it looked like it might have been, was it Lonnie Johnson that was pushing Stroud away?
Lonnie was in the mix in there,
I don't know who it was that was trying to push trying to keep C.J. out of being a peacemaker, which actually, because it was a defensive player, it looked like it might have been contentious. I choose to think whoever that player was, it was more like, all right, no, you stay out of this, C.J. We don't need you catching a stray.
Okay, well, let's start there. Okay, so yesterday, the whole thing started when Stephon Diggs caught a pass over the middle, was kind of falling to the ground, and Jimmy Ward kind of helped him fall to the ground and landed on top of him.
Right, and maybe it's hard to tell exactly. Like, did he do it with oomph, or did he kind of just fall on him because he had his feet cut out from underneath him? It was on a day where there had been a little extracurricular chippiness, this apparently was a tipping point.
It was enough to, it was enough to get the defense and the offense nose to nose collectively with each other in kind of a big crowd. And the crowd, you could see there was some movement in the crowd, a little bit of pushing and shoving, no punches thrown or anything like that. And then when they finally got the two sides relatively separated, man, out of nowhere, like shot out of a gun, Derek Stingley comes over and just waylays Dalton Schultz.
From
kind of like the side,
The side,
but definitely not within view where Schultz could brace himself.
Schultz didn't see it coming or anything.
No.
It was a cheap shot. It was a cheap shot against your own teammate. The other day, D'Amico's talking about how important it is that guys not, you know, in the course of a play, don't be hitting guys from the side when you're practicing with shoulder pads on.
Yeah.
You know, nothing like that. Stingley went up and did that very thing, except like about 2 minutes after a play.
Yep.
It was, and at the time we were watching from the other sideline, Tegan Quatoriano was really heated and worked up.
He was.
This offense, before Stingley came in and hit before, I think it was before Stingley came in and hit Schultz. Maybe it was after. But I noticed Teagan Quatoriano all worked up as the offensive players were walking back towards the line of scrimmage.
Yep.
And the, Stingley came out of nowhere and just hit him.
All right, so I've got three winners and three losers from this fight. We'll do this real quick, and then we'll get to Nick Caserio. I thought you touched on C.J. Stroud, so I'll start there. I thought C.J., for a guy who's hyper-competitive, did a good job of keeping himself out of the middle of the fray. You don't want your quarterback in there in the middle of the crowd where he might catch a stray person falling on the ground and hitting him in the leg or something like that.
By keeping himself out, do you mean he was restrained by another person?
He didn't keep himself out of it. He was trying to get in there. The footage I saw, he was on the fringe of the fray. Like kind of holding a defensive player back.
Okay, he was at one point. He was trying to get in. And
good job getting out there.
I believe
CJ.
the one I saw, the defensive player was holding him out.
Okay, so see, I saw him holding a defensive player.
Okay,
out.
At one point, yeah.
All right, so CJ.
I don't know if he held himself out as much as he was. I'm assuming he was going in to try to break it up. You know, like it really. Typically, that's what.
Good job staying healthy. How's that?
Okay, good job.
Good job staying healthy, CJ Stroud. Number two, winners. I think D'Amico Ryans loved this yesterday. Mm. I think he loved the chippiness. I think D'Amico likes when guys get a little upset.
I don't know.
A little shovey.
Okay. There might be him liking the chippiness part of it. Yeah. I don't think he liked Derek Stingley taking a cheap shot on Dalton Schultz.
No, I'm talking about the overall fight. The whole fight thing. Yeah. Nobody likes a cheap shot.
He's got to have a conversation with Stingley about that.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's just like, it's flat out. It's unacceptable. Right. I don't know if, that was bad. It was really bad.
Right.
It was really, I don't know what led up to it or anything, but you don't take a cheap shot on one of your teammates, much less one of your high paid
$12 million a year tight end.
Just, from the side, well after a skirmish is over.
You can pull that crap with Quatoriano. You can't pull it with Schultz.
You made a good point, too, Sean, which is that, and especially if you're one of the most injury-prone dudes in the league, don't do it, okay?
Yes.
If you're a guy that hasn't had a healthy season since 2019, don't be going and taking cheap shots on Dalton Schultz.
No. I would say, so D'Amico Ryans I have as a winner because I think he liked the actual, like, the chippiness that led to a fight. I think D'Amico likes an occasional fight at training camp.
It's tough. It's tough because I think guys that really like it, because I think Coughlin used to be that way, but when one of his, when I was in Jacksonville, Marcus Stroud was a rookie, first round draft pick, he broke his hand on an offensive lineman's face.
You got to be smart.
Got a good overhand right on a 6'7" offensive lineman.
Yeah.
Whose helmet was off. So Stroud had, if you get the guy's helmet off, in a lot of ways you've already won the fight because if it didn't get broken up, you got the advantage there. So they don't like it. After that, Coughlin was strictly prohibited fighting.
Okay.
So I think D'Amico liked the chip. And it wasn't I don't know if there was even a punch thrown.
Yeah.
He would really like it if there was chippiness.
Yeah.
And I don't know if there was a punch thrown because of the scrum.
Yeah, it was hard to see.
Yeah.
It's hard to see. Number three, Stephon Diggs. He kind of walked away from this whole thing. Mm-hmm. And first loser in this whole thing, I think Diggs was a winner because he walked away from it. I don't think he caused anything. He caught a football and went to the ground. NFL notifications at NFL Notify, first loser. They tweet out a picture of Diggs and it says Texans wide receiver Stephon Diggs was in the middle of a fight at training camp today. Are we surprised?
Yeah.
That was lame.
It's one of those things where it's literally true, but it's obviously misleading. You're like, okay, yes, he was in the middle of it, but it leads you. Somebody that doesn't know and hasn't watched it reads that, and it reads as if like, oh, okay, he was a part of it.
Throwing punches, yeah. You can't tell the story of that fight without mentioning Stephon Diggs, but he didn't cause the fight. Like, he wasn't in the middle of it.
You just flat out, honestly, you got to block all of these nameless, faceless aggregators. It's one thing if it's an aggregator, but who has his name on it. These
NFL faces, notifications.
They're the worst. So they put out those tweets where it's like a one-word quote, and they just completely destroy the context of it.
Stingley, loser in the fight, for sure. You hated that. A lot of people hated that. Jimmy Ward, I will put him in this category of loser in the fight. For a guy who gets hurt a lot, he sure does push the envelope in these padded practices.
Oh, that's a good point,
Remember last year he blasted Dalton Schultz over the middle on a play?
Mm-hmm.
He's been doing a little of that out there at these couple first padded practices. And I get it, he's a vet, and maybe you get a little latitude, you know, kind of like the, you know, the, you know, like you're one of the older guys, as you know, in college or the dorm or whatever. You can get away with a little bit more. You can get away with bullying the freshman and sophomore a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
You missed time with three different injuries last year, man.
Yeah.
Like, you can't be making other people unhealthy if you're unable to stay healthy during
Right.
Those are my rules. Yeah. So there you go. Those are my winners and losers from the fight yesterday.
I think that, so usually that stuff's left on the field. You don't bring it into the locker room. I do think that D'Amico probably had a nice conversation with Derek Stingley afterwards. And those guys, I'll have the audio from this here in the next segment or two. But the two linebackers from the Colts, E.J. Speed and Zaire Franklin, that have been kind of going back and forth with C.J. Stroud the entire offseason.
Yeah.
They had actually specifically brought up Dalton Schultz as a guy that they respected as a dog, that who like would go after them in games and talk and wouldn't back down, wouldn't try to be like looking to the officials or anything. Like he was scrappy, but then could, you know, pound it out afterwards and just say, hey, like it's all just football, whatever.
Yep.
Schultz is no punk.
No,
I think there's sometimes, I think sometimes for two reasons. One, because he went to Stanford.
Bingo.
And two, because he can't block. Then I think people might assume he's a punk or something. Like, no, there's plenty of guys who can't block who aren't punks.
Right.
Schultz is no punk.
He's not, man.
Sometimes these young guys need to be, like, they need to realize, like, oh, the big kind of goofy looking gamer dude from Stanford, he's a punk. I'll just say, just be careful with that.
Absolutely. Be careful with that. Yeah. Stingley. Nick Caserio was on with us yesterday. He talked about C.J. Stroud. Here is Nick Caserio talking about how C.J. Stroud makes his job easier.
Well, he's a good player, so you know, you want to have more good players. Good players want to play with good players.
Yeah.
So I think we're very purposeful about how we try to build a team, and it's getting people with the right mindset, with the right mentality, and just come in and do your job and just be the best version of yourself each day, whatever that entails. So don't worry about things that you can't control. Just go out there and try to improve. I was talking to actually Blake Fisher about this yesterday going into, you know, after the walkthrough. And it's about, well, I'm just going to, you know, focus on maybe one or two things that day. If you try to focus on 60 things in practice, you're not going to perfect anything. So, and I think CJ takes that same approach. He's very competitive. You saw that competitiveness yesterday in the team drill.
Yes.
He has that edge to him, and he's not afraid. So, I mean, that's just part of, you know, growth and development in the position. Being confident in yourself. If you're confident in yourself, you're confident in your preparation, then you can go out there and play confidently on the field.
A lot of good things there about CJ. The first 5 seconds of that cut was what I was trying to get at with the question with him. Good players like to play with good players.
Yeah.
It's easier to sell Danielle Hunter and Joe Mixon and Stephon Diggs that this is the right place for them to go win a Super Bowl when you've got C.J. Stroud as
your
quarterback.
That's just kind of like...
he was around Brady all those years, so he knows.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah, look at... I mean, yeah, they would get all those veterans that were just trying to win a Super Bowl, and they knew that going to the Patriots and playing with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, that was the way to do it. I think the added benefit, if the Texans can capitalize on some of this potential that they have right now, is that Belichick was always looked at as a guy who's like, okay, yeah, look great. He's not like a lovable players coach or anything, but he's going to help me win a championship. Whereas with D'Amico, you get the added benefit of, man, I feel like watching this guy on the sideline and things people say about him. It just sounds like the Shangri-La
of
places to go. They got C.J. Stroud, and they've got a coach who, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, there have other times. For a long time, the Broncos were a little bit like that, A, because they were good, and B, because Shanahan had a reputation as a player's coach, Mike Shanahan.
Mm-hmm.
And just the environment was just a really cool environment. Kubiak came out of that school, and then Kubiak, I mean, obviously they never had the appeal of being the it team or anything in Houston when Kubiak was here, but he was thought of as a guy that, man, it's fun playing for that guy.
No doubt.
He doesn't really, there's not a lot of BS.
Nope.
He cares about being a good football team.
Let's play one more. Seth, you followed up with that to that question asking Nick about he saw Tom Brady early in Brady's career, rise to stardom, Hollywood marquee figure, and how does that transition go? What are his concerns, or how does he feel about being the GM when C.J. Stroud is on a similar ascension?
No, it's interesting. Everything this day and age is that much more magnified because there's so many more eyeballs. You know, Sean and I were just talking before the various platforms that are available. So there's always opportunities. People are watching what you're doing. I would say 20 years ago, it wasn't as magnified, and there was a lot that happened. Like, when you go back and look at Tom, like, he had success early, but he didn't, because in 2000 he was a fourth-string quarterback.
Yeah.
And then he was the backup quarterback going into 2001, and then he played when Drew got hurt, and then we went on a run there. And I'd say that offseason, there was probably a lot coming at you. The 02 season was one of our worst seasons, actually. I mean, we went 9-7. Mm-hmm. Like, we were horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't make the playoffs. It was like, all right, well, let's go back to the drawing board. So I think it's, you have to separate each year. What happened in the past? What happened that year? All right, that's great. Let's focus on the present, and let's not get too caught up in things that, it's great to have fun. We want people to live their lives and enjoy what they're doing. That's great. And just understand, everybody's tugging at you, right? Yeah. Everybody wants you, and there's eyeballs, and everything gets magnified. But once you step back into this arena, then the focus is on football, because if you play great football and you're good at your job, you're going to have so many other opportunities because of how you played on the field. So I think it's important for any player to not lose sight of that.
And I wonder, you know, he didn't specifically cite Brady as a guy that didn't, you know, progress in his second year as a full-time starter. But I wonder, I don't know if that's what he was kind of insinuating or what have you.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would point out about that first Patriots team was, like, on paper, they weren't that good of a team.
No.
I remember there was a quote by Bill Belichick that after the game after the Super Bowl, he was talking with one of his friends on the phone. He's like, can you believe we won with that team?
Right.
You know, and right. So yeah, that's the ultimate lesson. And like, look, no matter what you did the year before, you start from scratch the next year. So I think that in terms of CJ, he consciously tries to keep a humility about himself. Mm-hmm. So regardless of anything he did that was very public in the off season, I think he very much gets and understands that part of the game, that you're always, like, you always have to start back at square one, that anything you did last year, it doesn't come easily to replicate it. So yeah. I'm not overly worried about that.
No, and Nick doesn't seem overly worried about it either. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're in studio today. No Texans practice today. They're back at it tomorrow. We'll be back out there tomorrow as well. Headlines up next. The Astros expand their lead in the AL West, and a Houston legend, passes away yesterday. We will get to that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Let's start Texans training camp. No camp today. They're off today. Back at it tomorrow and Saturday, and then two more practices next week, and then it's off to the Hall of Fame game, man. A week from today, we get actual preseason football.
Actual preseason football.
Yeah, man.
It goes to, and it's not like in the old days when it was a fifth preseason game. Now you're just going back to the normal, what it was like forever, where you would have four preseason games, but the rest of the league is only playing
three. It's just the Texans and the Bears. So, yeah.
Right, the Texans and the Bears will have the Bears. Well, likely, do you think they play Caleb Williams in that game?
No. I don't think the Texans play C.J. Stroud in that game.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bears play the Bears might play Caleb Williams. There's a difference between a rookie and C.J.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah. No,
so
I don't think C.J. Stroud plays, but I think Caleb Williams probably plays, so we get a look at him.
Versus, I hope so.
The thing I'm excited about for the training camp this year is that, look, the Texans, like just about every other team in the league, probably aren't going to play their starters a whole bunch. Some guys might not play at all in the preseason. But if this is indeed a deeper Texans team, then you get to see that. You get to see the effects of that. Are you winning? Are the Texans backups genuinely that much better than they have been in the past? And are they physically thumping and destroying other backups from the league?
Yeah, you'll get a look at the rookies too. And I think, you know, if we kind of sit back, we got a day off here. We've had six practices, two padded practices, and you get a chance to sit back for a day here and assess. I think so far, again, it's training camp, I understand that. So far, this rookie class, especially considering, unlike last year where they're trotting in the second and third overall pick as the marquee members, they didn't pick till 42 this year. And I feel pretty good right now that they're going to have at least four or five contributors from this rookie class.
Yeah.
I think both second-round picks. You know, Blake Fisher has been getting all the reps with the ones, so in a perfect world, he's not contributing on game day. You got Tunsil and Titus Howard. But in a perfect world, he's also shown himself to be a viable option if either of those guys go out.
Yeah.
So him getting the role as the swing tackle, Lassiter, I think, if I had to bet, is going to start at cornerback for this team as of right now. Kate Stover did some good things yesterday. Kalen Bullock's been doing some good things in practice. And you mentioned Jawar Jordan's your most intriguing guy at camp right now. That's five guys out of a rookie class where you weren't picking until 42nd overall. That's pretty good so far.
And then there's a genuine competition in the making at fullback. Troy Harrison's been the only fullback out there because Beck's been injured the whole time.
Yeah.
He hasn't practiced yet. But I think when Beck comes back, they've got a decision to make about that fullback position.
Yeah, Harrison's a forgotten man.
Yeah.
He was on IR last year.
He was injured all last year. Yeah. And, you know, he was transitioning from the role of linebacker in college to fullback in the NFL. He showed some flashes his rookie year. He also showed some times where he looked like a guy who was learning how to play fullback. I would say he looks a lot more confident, decisive, and is still very athletic by fullback standards,
yep.
Or relatively athletic by fullback standards. There are no old school fullbacks anymore. You have to be a receiving threat to be a fullback in the modern NFL.
Yep.
This one towards first. Singleton will field it. He'll flip to King, and that's an Astros winner today. A 3-3 road trip. The Astros become the only American League team to have a winning record in the history of the Oakland Coliseum, other than the A's themselves, as they end up 55-54 all time in this building. Blummer, that's a great way to head back home on this long trip back to Houston.
There may be some kids out there that heard that and said, the A's have a winning record at their home stadium? They've stunk for the 6 years that I've been alive so far. Well, that back in the day, there were some times where the A's were very, very good at baseball.
Yeah, the A's...
They used to win World Series back in the 70s and 80s.
They used to win World Series. Yeah. They basically sparked, and then they had a respectable phase where they sparked the
Moneyball
analytics movement in many regards.
Made a movie out of it.
They basically won a championship for the Red Sox by the Red Sox copying the A's techniques, A's analytic approach.
They hung a banner for it in Oakland.
Yeah. So this is good for the Astros.
Yep.
They'll be playing their games against the A's in
Sacramento
for the next couple
next
years.
Year. Yeah, next few years.
And then on to Las Vegas.
Yep. Hunter Brown, legit ace right now for this team. I feel bad. The only bad start he's had in his last 12 starts, I was there for. Amy and I were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was my fault. He's been incredible, man. 2.09 ERA in his last 12 starts.
And
1.50 in his last three starts.
And again, just to not have a knee-jerk reaction about the A's have had a resurgence over the last month offensively. They're the best team in baseball offensively in the month of July, or have been so far. So versus an offense that's really humming, Hunter Brown went out and did what he did, which he doesn't look like a young, untested rookie the way that some of the other starting pitchers are right now.
Yes.
And we just... When's the trade deadline? Tuesday, Sean?
Tuesday afternoon.
There's got to be a brand new starting pitcher on that roster.
A shiny new starting pitcher under the tree, yes. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. We'd be remiss in headlines not to mention sad news yesterday from the Rockets. Gene Peterson, their legendary radio voice for over 30 years, including the voice of the two championships back in the mid-90s, passes away yesterday at the age of 83. Gene Peterson was a legend. If you were here if you're a longtime Rockets fan, he's the voice of all of your memories. I moved here in late 94, so I was introduced to Gene Peterson as a listener when going through that second championship season. This was some iconic audio right here. This is Gene Peterson and Jim Foley. Game 4 of the 1994 Western Conference Finals in Utah. The Jazz have the ball, trying to take the lead at the end of the game, and the clock operator is not starting the clock
in Utah
after the inbound.
All right, here we go. Chambers will throw it inbound for the Utah Jazz. Kyle Malone's probably going to try to muscle it, or they'll shoot the outside shot, one or the other. Chambers looking, still looking. Out it comes, Hornacek. 12 o'clock. Well, start the time clock. They didn't even start the clock.
They haven't started the clock. Oh, we got it. Something's got to give here.
Can you believe this? They haven't even started the clock. We got it anyway.
It's over.
Take it in. Just 5 minutes.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes.
And it's winning it! The Rockets winning it. Boy, that's one of the dirtiest plays I've ever seen.
I hate Utah. I hate Utah. Oh, it's all brand new and fresh all of a sudden.
Probably not how they teach it at Syracuse Broadcasting School.
But that's the beauty of it.
Local radio, man.
They turned into, this is the thing in the moment. The clock operator was sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're almost like, right. So Gene abandoned trying to describe exactly what was going on in the court. And just in that moment, I think probably could identify with the fans more than anybody. It was urgent for the good of the Rockets. He was trying to get that dirty, stinking, man, I hope he was exported. Was deported. And
clock
exported.
Operator?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
I hope he's deported to a state where they don't allow all the weird stuff that goes on in Utah.
Yeah.
And I hope my 17 wives come with me. Hey, what's with all these people of color out in these? Where the hell am I?
I hope it was some state where they don't allow that. And I hope he was into all of it.
Yeah.
Deprivation, man. That was great. Gene Peterson passes away yesterday. I didn't know Gene all that well, but I interviewed him for a piece I did for the Houston Press about that 95 team.
Mm-hmm.
Real gentleman, man. Couldn't have been nicer. Great storyteller.
Yeah, people just gush about him. I say that in the present tense. Like I'd heard this before. This is not just the nice things that people say after somebody passes away, but very, very well respected.
Yep, no doubt. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, sat down with Seth and I yesterday. We'll get his assessment. I just gave mine. Of the rookie class. We'll get his assessment of not only the rookie class, but a couple of the other more prominent players. He revealed something about a Texan who struggled last year that I don't think a lot of people realize, that we will get to that with Nick Caserio coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock.
He saw Tom Brady early in Brady's career, rise to stardom, Hollywood marquee figure, and how does that transition go? What are his concerns, or how does he feel about being the GM when C.J. Stroud is on a similar ascension?
No, it's interesting. Everything this day and age is that much more magnified,
yeah,
because there's so many more eyeballs. You know, Sean and I were just talking before the various platforms that are available. So there's always opportunities. People are watching what you're doing. I would say 20 years ago, it wasn't as magnified, and there was a lot that happened. Like when you go back and look at Tom, like he had success early, but he didn't, because in 2000 he was a fourth string quarterback,
yeah,
and then he was the backup quarterback going into 2001. And then he played when Drew got hurt, and then we went on a run there. And I'd say that off season, there was probably a lot coming at you. The 0-2 season was one of our worst seasons, actually. I mean, we went 9-7.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we were horrible.
Yeah.
I mean, we didn't make the playoffs. It was like, all right, well, let's go back to the drawing board. So I think it's, you have to separate each year. What happened in the past? What happened that year? All right, that's great. Let's focus on the present. And let's not get too caught up in things that it's great to have fun. We want people to live their lives and enjoy what they're doing. That's great. And just understand, everybody's tugging at you, right? Yeah. Everybody wants you, and there's eyeballs, and everything gets magnified. But once you step back into this arena, then the focus is on football, because if you play great football and you're good at your job, you're going to have so many other opportunities because of how you played on the field. So I think it's important for any player to not lose sight of that.
And I wonder, you know, he didn't specifically cite Brady as a guy that didn't, you know, progress in year in his second year as a full-time starter. But I wonder, I don't know if that's what he was kind of just insinuating or what have you.
Yeah.
But the other thing I would point out about that first Patriots team was, like, on paper, they weren't that good of a team.
No.
I remember there was a quote by Bill Belichick that after the game after the Super Bowl, he had called up, he was talking with one of his friends on the phone. He's like, can you believe we won with that team?
Right.
You know, and right. So yeah, that's the ultimate lesson. And like, look, no matter what you did the year before, you start from scratch the next year. So I think that in terms of CJ, he consciously tries to keep a humility about himself. Mm-hmm. So regardless of anything he did that was very public in the off season, I think he very much gets and understands that part of the game, that you're always, like, you always have to start back at square one, that anything you did last year, it doesn't come easily to replicate it. So yeah. I'm not overly worried about that.
No, and Nick doesn't seem overly worried about it either. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. We're in studio today. No Texans practice today. They're back at it tomorrow. We'll be back out there tomorrow as well. Headlines up next. The Astros expand their lead in the AL West, and a Houston legend, passes away yesterday. We will get to that in headlines coming up next.
Payne and Pendergast with today's headlines.
All right, let's get to headlines. Let's start Texans training camp. No camp today. They're off today. Back at it tomorrow and Saturday, and then two more practices next week, and then it's off to the Hall of Fame game, man. A week from today, we get actual preseason football.
Actual preseason football.
Yeah, man.
It goes to, and it's not like in the old days when it was a fifth preseason game. Now you're just going back to the normal, what it was like forever, where you would have four preseason games, but the rest of the league is only playing
three. It's just the Texans and the Bears. So, yeah.
Right, the Texans and the Bears will have the Bears. Well, likely, do you think they play Caleb Williams in that game?
No. I don't think the Texans play C.J. Stroud in that game.
Yeah.
I don't think the Bears play the Bears might play Caleb Williams. There's a difference between a rookie and C.J.
Right. No, so I don't think C.J. Stroud plays, but I think Caleb Williams probably plays, so we get a look at him.
Versus, I hope so.
The thing I'm excited about for the training camp this year is that, look, the Texans, like just about every other team in the league, probably aren't going to play their starters a whole bunch. Some guys might not play at all in the preseason. But if this is indeed a deeper Texans team, then you get to see that. You get to see the effects of that. Are you winning? Are the Texans backups genuinely that much better than they have been in the past? And are they physically thumping and destroying other backups from the league?
Yeah, you'll get a look at the rookies too. And I think, you know, if we kind of sit back, we got a day off here. We've had six practices, two padded practices, and you get a chance to sit back for a day here and assess. I think so far, again, it's training camp, I understand that. So far, this rookie class, especially considering, unlike last year where they're trotting in the second and third overall pick as the marquee members, they didn't pick till 42 this year. And I feel pretty good right now that they're going to have at least four or five contributors from this rookie class.
Yeah.
I think both second-round picks. You know, Blake Fisher has been getting all the reps with the ones, so in a perfect world, he's not contributing on game day. You got Tunsil and Titus Howard. But in a perfect world, he's also shown himself to be a viable option if either of those guys go out.
Yeah.
So him getting the role as the swing tackle, Lassiter, I think, if I had to bet, is going to start at cornerback for this team as of right now. Kate Stover did some good things yesterday. Kalen Bullock's been doing some good things in practice. And you mentioned Jawar Jordan's your most intriguing guy at camp right now. That's five guys out of a rookie class where you weren't picking until 42nd overall. That's pretty good so far.
And then there's a genuine competition in the making at fullback. Troy Harrison's been the only fullback out there because Beck's been injured the whole time.
Yeah.
He hasn't practiced yet. But I think when Beck comes back, they've got a decision to make about that fullback position.
Yeah, Harrison's a forgotten man.
Yeah.
He
was injured all last year.
Yeah.
And, you know, he was transitioning from the role of linebacker in college to fullback in the NFL. He showed some flashes his rookie year. He also showed some times where he looked like a guy who was learning how to play fullback. I would say he looks a lot more confident, decisive, and is still very, you know, very athletic by fullback standards,
yep.
Or relatively athletic by fullback standards. There are no old school fullbacks anymore.
Not really.
You have to be a receiving threat to be a fullback in the modern NFL.
Yep.
This one towards first. Singleton will field it. He'll flip to King, and that's an Astros winner today. A 3-3 road trip. The Astros become the only American League team to have a winning record in the history of the Oakland Coliseum, other than the A's themselves, as they end up 55-54 all time in this building. Blummer, that's a great way to head back home on this long trip back to Houston.
There may be some kids out there that heard that and said, the A's have a winning record at their home stadium? They've stunk for the 6 years that I've been alive so far. Well, that back in the day, there were some times where the A's were very, very good at baseball.
Yeah, the A's...
They used to win World Series back in the 70s and 80s.
They used to win World Series. Yeah. They basically sparked, and then they had a respectable phase where they sparked the
Moneyball
analytics movement,
yeah,
in many regards.
Made a movie out of it.
They basically won a championship for the Red Sox by the Red Sox copying the A's technique, A's analytic approach.
They hung a banner for it in Oakland.
Yeah. So this is so good for the Astros.
Yep.
They'll be playing their games against the A's in Sacramento for the next couple
next
years.
Year. Yeah, next few years.
And then
yeah.
on to Las Vegas.
Yep. Hunter Brown. Legit ace right now for this team. I feel bad. The only bad start he's had in his last 12 starts, I was there for. Amy and I were in the building.
Mm-hmm.
That was my fault. He's been incredible, man. 2.09 ERA in his last 12 starts.
And
1.50 in his last three starts.
And again, just to not have a knee-jerk reaction about the A's have had a resurgence over the last month offensively. They're the best team in baseball offensively in the month of July, or have been so far. So versus an offense that's really humming, Hunter Brown went out and did what he did, which he doesn't look like a young, untested rookie the way that some of the other starting pitchers are right now.
Yes.
And we just... When's the trade deadline? Tuesday, Sean?
Tuesday afternoon.
There's got to be a brand new starting pitcher on that roster.
A shiny new starting pitcher under the tree, yes. Our baseball talk is presented by T-Mobile. Switch to T-Mobile. You get tons of benefits. Still save on every plan versus AT&T and Verizon. Use their savings calculator to find out how at t-mobile.com/switch. We'd be remiss in headlines, not to mention sad news yesterday from the Rockets. Gene Peterson, their legendary radio voice for over 30 years, including the voice of the two championships back in the mid-90s, passes away yesterday at the age of 83. Gene Peterson was a legend. If you were here if you're a longtime Rockets fan, he's the voice of all of your memories. I moved here in late 94, so I was introduced to Gene Peterson as a listener when going through that second championship season. This was some iconic audio right here. This is Gene Peterson and Jim Foley. Game 4 of the 1994 Western Conference Finals in Utah. The Jazz have the ball, trying to take the lead at the end of the game, and the clock operator is not starting the clock
in Utah
after the inbound.
All right, here we go. Chambers will throw it inbounds for the Utah Jazz. Tom Malone's probably going to try to muscle it, or they'll shoot the outside shot, one or the other. Chambers looking, still looking. Out it comes, 20 seconds. 12 o'clock. Well, start the time clock. They didn't even start the clock.
They haven't started the clock. Oh, we got it. Something's got to give here. What's
Can you believe
in?
This? They haven't even started the clock. We got it anyway.
We got it anyway. Take it in.
This ball game is over.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yes. How sweet it is. The Rockets win it, and boy, that's one of the dirtiest plays I've ever seen.
I hate Utah. Oh, it's all brand new and fresh all of a sudden.
Probably not how they teach it at Syracuse Broadcasting School.
But that's the beauty of it.
Local radio, man.
They turned into, this is the thing in the moment. The clock operator was sitting in front of them.
Yeah.
And they're almost like, right, so Gene abandoned trying to describe exactly what was going on in the court, and just in that moment, I think probably could identify with the fans more than anybody. It was urgent for the good of the Rockets. He was trying to get that dirty, stinking, man, I hope he was exported, was deported, and
clock
exported.
Operator?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I hope he's deported to a state where they don't allow all the weird stuff that goes on in Utah.
Yeah.
And I hope like, well, come and on. I hope 17 wives come with me? Hey, what's with all these people of color out in these? Where the hell am I?
I hope it was some state where they don't allow that, and I hope he was into all of it.
Yeah.
Deprivation, man. That was great. Gene Peterson passes away yesterday. I didn't know Gene all that well, but I interviewed him for a piece I did for the Houston Press about that 95 team.
Mm-hmm.
Real gentleman, man. Couldn't have been nicer. Great storyteller.
Yeah, people just gush about him.
The best.
I say that in the present tense. Like I'd heard this before. This is not just the nice things that people say after somebody passes away,
yep.
But very, very well respected.
Yep, no doubt. Nick Caserio, Texans GM, sat down with Seth and I yesterday. We'll get his assessment. I just gave mine. Of the rookie class. We'll get his assessment of not only the rookie class, but a couple of the other more prominent players. He revealed something about a Texan who struggled last year that I don't think a lot of people realize, that we will get to that with Nick Caserio coming up next.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a great day to venture out in a spacious and capable Toyota SUV, like the new RAV4. With available all-wheel drive, it can go just about anywhere. And with plenty of passenger and cargo space, you'll go from morning carpool to weekend road trip without missing a beat. Plus, with available features like wireless charging and a touchscreen interface, your Toyota RAV4 will keep you connected no matter where you're going. Or check out a spacious Highlander. With seating for up to 8, it's a hub for family adventure. You'll drive in comfort and style with available heated and ventilated seats and all the latest tech. And with available hybrid models, your new Highlander can save you tons on gas. Right now, your local Toyota dealer has more vehicles in stock and is making delivery on new vehicles almost every day. So don't wait. Buy a RAV4 or Highlander today. Visit buyatoyota.com for deals and more. Toyota, let's go places.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norse sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Nore sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nore taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Nore.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.